Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 1 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 10, 1-6. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study again. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 10, starting in verse 1. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women and by the peoples around us. But in spite of all this, there is still hope for Israel. Now let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and those who fear the command of our God. Let it be done according to the law. Rise up, this matter is in your hands. We will support you, so take courage and do it." Now, remember, we read last week that Ezra, it's come to Ezra's attention that there are people who have been marrying foreign women. And again, it's not that God, you know, hates intermarriage or interracial marriage or anything like that, even though these kind of passages have been used to justify that in the past. That's not what this is talking about. The Lord was very specific in every single case, or at least almost every single case, when he speaks this out, including this case in Ezra. Ezra makes it clear there's a why behind why God doesn't want people to do this, why he doesn't want the people of Israel to do this. He told him every single time, or at least almost every single time, don't marry foreign women, because if you do, they will snare you into worshiping their gods. And that's exactly what has happened here. They have been exiled to Babylon and Assyria because of worshiping other gods and doing these very things. And the Lord has had mercy on them and sent them back. And they got right back into, almost immediately, marrying foreign women and worshiping their gods. Ezra makes it clear here in chapter 9 that that was already beginning to happen. And so Ezra is just beside himself. He's you know, torn his clothes and put on the ashes and all that kind of stuff that they do. I mean, he is really upset about this, as we can see here. And so everyone else comes with him and they weep over this because they realize what a big deal this is. Again, this is just like the story in Deuteronomy where a very similar thing happens and the anger of the Lord breaks out against the nation of Israel. Ezra instructs them in all of this. He's very aware of this and it bothers him like crazy. So again, it's not because God just hates interracial marriage or, you know, hates certain races over the others. That's not what this is about. This is about being led away to worship other gods other than him. And to be clear, some people have, you know, made a big deal about how God says he's jealous and why would you want to worship a jealous God and things like that. And there is this reality to, he created us. He's like, you worship me only. He kind of gets to say that. But beyond that, I don't think God is some egomaniacal, you know, ruler, cosmic ruler. He's not an egomaniac. What it is every other god is nothing more than his adversary and ours, Satan, the devil. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so his only purpose, the false gods, the idols, everything else out there, the only purpose behind any of that stuff is to steal, kill, and destroy people in this life. And so it's not just that it's God's ego that can't handle us worshiping other gods. It's that they are destructive to us. They are one of the most destructive forces in the world. And the Lord knows this. And so his jealousy over us worshiping only him is not his ego. It's actually his love for us because he knows the destruction. He knows the pain and the suffering that lay outside of worshiping him alone. That is the why. And that's a very good why. That's a very important why to understand behind the what here. And the what's a very big deal. The what is such a big deal. This Ezra is one of the books that ends probably, it's the strangest book in the Bible, in my mind, in the way that it ends. And as we get to the end of this week, and hopefully you've been reading through this 10 times in 10 weeks, and so you're very familiar with how it ends already, but it's going to come to this very strange, abrupt ending with this. But this is such a big deal to Ezra and to the people of God because of what's gone on. And so it is important for us to understand just the weight and the magnitude of what they're talking about here. I think it can really be foreign to Americans, to Westerners, to people that don't carry the burden, I think, that carry the responsibility of God's chosen people, the Israelites, to remain in this. I mean, they really do have a call to remain ethnically pure in a lot of ways because of this commandment not to worship other gods. And so this is really quite a big deal. All right, continue on, verse 5. So Ezra rose up and put the leading priests and Levites and all Israel under oath to do what had been suggested. And they took the oath. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went into the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. While he was there, he ate no food and drank no water because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. So I want to just pause right there. I mean, Ezra is saying, hey, we're going to do this thing, and he gets ready to do it, right? They come and they tell him, hey, we're with you. Take courage. And again, this is something that's going to need courage because this is such a big deal. This is no small thing, right? They've married foreign women, and they've had children, and we're about to ask them to put them away. I mean, essentially, we're saying they need to divorce these women and send them on their way. And I mean, this is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. This is what Isaac did with Ishmael, basically. And so, I mean, the courage again that this would take, because this is not a good thing. This is not a good solution. This is one of those problems that doesn't have a good solution. We're going to see it's a bitter pill to swallow. And very often in life there are, you know, when we kind of believe in fairy tale Disney style Christianity, it's like there's always going to be, you know, gumdrops and rainbows on the other side of something. And whereas the Lord is always for us, he's always with us. Sometimes we have to face decisions where there's no good decision to be made, that the outcome is going to hurt one way or the other. And that's life. That's not, you know, trying to put some, you know, we just got to, you know, buck up and deal with it kind of spin on things. That's just life. Very often there's things that we have to do that there's just not a great decision to be made. There's just the right decision, and the right decision's going to hurt. The wrong decision's going to continue to hurt, and the right decision's going to continue to hurt. There's just hurt either way. And sometimes we back ourselves into that corner. And that's exactly what's happened here with the Israelites. But they come up and they say, you know what? We realized how great our sin is. We understand it, and we're willing to take on the hurt and make this right. And again, it, you know, maybe there's a couple of these guys who are like, well, I didn't like the foreign woman anyway, and the kids bother me, so I don't mind sending them away. But I mean, I think it's a little callous to just assume that they don't care to send these people away. This had to hurt. This has to hurt to be willing to send them away like this. I mean, you are separating yourself from your family. And that's got to hurt. This is no small thing that we're reading about here. We'll continue on next time, but for now, I'm your host, Taryn Hibbs, for the 10-Week Bible Study. I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.